Good morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech, or I am imploring, I'm encouraging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And some translations say reasonable service of worship. But then if we go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You'd stand with me. Praise the Lord. That's what we get to do this morning. We get to use the fruit of our lips. We get to use our voices. We get to use our entire being and lift praises to God. And if you don't feel like it this morning, then offer him a sacrifice of praise. And I guarantee if you start to give him a sacrifice of praise, your heart will catch up. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another amazing opportunity, Lord, to come before you and worship you, Lord. Open our hearts and open our lives, Lord, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the one who is our life giver, to the one who died to set us free, the one who is and was and is to come. Lord, we choose you this morning. We choose your ways. And Lord, by our lips, by the fruit of our lips, Lord, with all our hearts, Lord, we will lift you up, we'll praise you, we'll give you the adoration, the respect and honor that you're due. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your loving us. Lord, we choose to love you back this morning through our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the blood because of you. Oh, the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. 'Cause you took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. 'Cause you took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. 'Cause you took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. Declare this today, church. You took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. 'Cause you took away my shame, and you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. Yeah, hallelujah, here I come. Hallelujah, here I come. Yeah, hallelujah, here I come. Hallelujah, here I come. In the blood, because of you. Oh, hallelujah. And you embody fullness of God wrapped in mercy. Showed us your heart, your love upon the cross. Your love poured out for us. And there's no one. And there is no one like the Lord. Thank you. set a table. You invite us to come, your body broken. Your blood was enough, this love upon the cross. This love poured out.
You
like you. No one restores like no other like you. Oh, we can't find you. We can't find you.
Thank you.
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Overcome.
Jesus. Death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory through the cross, through his burial and resurrection. Because of that, we have life, and life abundantly. That abundant life is in us now, living in us now, working in us. That abundant life is his eternal life that he's given us. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Worthy, 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 worthy. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a few prayer requests that I received this morning from my mom, Joanne. She is sick at home. She has several issues. She was at emergency twice this week. But then her sister went into the hospital last night in Georgia. And Theron, my cousin, broke his femur. yesterday, and he's in the hospital. So, Lord, we just lift all of these needs, Lord, any others that you know about before your throne of grace, God, Theron and Marlene, Lord, and my mom, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you would let your healing hand touch each and every one of them. Lord, they're going to run multiple tests on Marlene. They don't know what's going on, Father, but you do. So, Father, right now we just ask that you give the doctors wisdoms, help them to know what to do to help her, Lord, to receive, God, your healing that you desire for her. We pray, Lord, for Theron that you'd heal this femur, this bone, Lord, and we pray, God, for healing over my mom. We thank you, Lord, that by your blood, Lord, and by your stripes, Lord, we receive healing. We receive life, Lord, and we stand in the gap right now for these needs, Lord. We stand in the gap right now, Lord, and ask you to touch these situations. You do all things well, Lord. Do all things well in these lives, Lord. Touch them, Lord. We bring them all before your throne of grace right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else have a prayer need this morning? Anyone? I know Gloria is not feeling well. Lord, we ask you to touch Gloria at home right now, Lord, that you would just touch her body. God, bring healing to her, Lord. We pray, God, that you give her your strength, Lord, and help her lungs, Lord, to be full of your life, Lord, and her heart, Lord, to work strong, Lord, and the blood pressure to be in check, Lord. We just ask you to touch her body right now in Jesus' name. Touch Phyllis, Lord, at home, Father. We pray you just touch her systems, Lord, and just allow them to function and work as you have designed them to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, Lord, all of us here, Lord, we just thank you that we have your life in us, Lord, and we receive health for our bodies, Lord. Even for any of us, Lord, who don't know that anything's going on in us, Lord, we receive your health and your life, Lord, that comes through what you did on the cross for us, through your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. Worthy is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none like you. There never will be, there never has been. No one like you, Lord. No one like you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Greet each other. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you, team.
All right, good morning. If you guys would stand with me, we are going to do our devotion over the Yakima Valley. Continue to believe that God is in love with our valley, in love with our city. So here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Father, we thank you so, so much for the great valley that we live in, and pray that you would continue to bless it, bless all the things, God, that we have before us, Lord, all the different geographical locations we represent here in this house, God. And we just pray that we would continue, Lord, to just shine your light bright, God, wherever we go, God, whether it's in our workplaces, in our schools, in the grocery store, at gas stations, God, that we would be a representation of you in our city. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. We don't really have any announcements, just the giving, the tithes and offering. As you guys know, we have the treasure box up here you can give in. There's a box out front, and then you can give online. So thank you for doing that. And then children, if you guys would come up. And while you guys are here, there is a birthday in the house. And so you guys are going to help me sing happy birthday to our Aunt Louise. She turned 25 years old this year. Okay, so we're going to do this together to Aunt Louise on three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, dear Louise. Happy birthday to you. Woo! We love you. All right, let's pray for these little ones. God, we thank you so much for these little children. We pray blessings over them as they go downstairs and as they learn about you, God. We pray, God, that you would bless their hearts, Lord. Prepare their hearts, God, to receive your word. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you would continue to build them up in your kingdom. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Use them for your kingdom, Lord. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Good. Well, we're going to continue to communicate on prayer, the Power of Prayer series. And my wife doesn't want me to say this, but the Prayers of the Bible is going to be our series within a series. So over the next how many weeks, I'm going to be going through prayers of the Bible to help us learn ways that we can pray, to give us insight in what biblical prayer is like so that a lot of us want to be able to pray according to his will. Amen? Well, what better way to pray according to his will than the way that actually Jesus told his disciples to pray? Yeah, that is not working. Okay, great. Sorry, I'm going to have to read up there or behind me. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed it be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So this is the prayer that was inspired by the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. One of the messages in the prayer series was that the disciples realized that prayer was important. And that's why they came to Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples. And so in response to that, Jesus then says, okay, if you're going to pray, pray in this manner. Now, I don't know if you guys know it, but some people, when they pray, this is the only way they pray. They don't really communicate any of their needs or anything else. It's the way that they were taught based on their, I guess you could say, religious experience, liturgy, and it's the way that they feel comfortable to pray. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do believe, though, that we have the ability to speak to God as we speak to a friend. We have the ability to tell God all the things that are on our hearts. But if this is the only way that someone connects with the Lord and they are drawing nearer to him, I say, God bless them and let them grow in the amount of revelation that they have at this time. So I want to kind of just take a little bit of time and use, as I like to, other translations of the Bible to help interpret the Bible. And then I want to break out a couple of key thoughts in this that I think will help all of us realize what's happening when we're praying, especially this prayer. So again, if we go to Matthew 6, 9, in the New King James Version, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, we're going to look at that hallowed be your name in detail. But right now, we're going to focus on these other aspects. So pray like this. Pray in this manner. So Jesus isn't just saying to just pray only this way. He's saying, pray in this style. Pray in this type of mindset. I found out that when this prayer was first kind of originated as a prayer that was in probably the Catholic Church. It was in Latin, and it used to be called the Father's Prayer, which is interesting because how does it start out? Our Father. This prayer is addressed to the Father. Now, when I was first saved, I don't know about you guys, but I had a thing with praying to the Father because I came to Jesus. And so, and I think maybe I had some father issues, you know, that were keeping me from really, you know, coming to the Father. So I prayed to Jesus. And then as I got baptized in the Holy Spirit became part of what I addressed my prayer to. But later on, as I received the love of the Father, then I really realized that Jesus made a way so we could pray to our Father. And as I've said before, that's our Abba. That's our daddy. He loves us more than any earthly father ever could. There's no comparison. He loves us to where the point that he never stops thinking about us. He loves us so much that the hairs of our head are numbered. And some of us have a lot more that he has to count. And some of us, it's easy. Mike's here. I know those really easy. Actually, it may be even harder because mine don't show hardly at all. They're like hidden. But the idea here is we're to pray in this style, in this manner. So there was years ago, I think his name was Larry Lee. He was a pastor in Texas, and he was teaching people how to utilize this format to pray like an hour worth of prayer that was all based on praying, hallowing the Father's name, asking for your needs to be met, asking for forgiveness, asking for him to help you and not get into temptations and trials. So that's really what it's saying when it says pray like this. In the New Living Translation, it says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. The Aramaic, which is a translation which was the language of Jesus' day. They weren't really doing Hebrew hardly at all. They were doing Aramaic, which is a form of the Hebrew language. It says this, therefore, pray in this way, our Father who are in heaven, that's definitely different for us, isn't it? Hallowed be thy name. Now, William says it this way. So this is the way you must pray. So that right there could say, I have to pray exactly this way. What he's trying to say is this is Jesus saying, this is the style of your prayer. Pray to the Father. And again, that's why it was called the Father's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, your name be revered. Now, verse 10 says this. Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom come. That sounds kind of like a declaration, doesn't it? Kind of like what we do on Sunday mornings when we're saying, Lord, your will be done in Yakima. You touch politicians. You touch lives. You do what you need to do to let your glory be revealed in this place. So kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we look at the New Living Translation, it says this, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is kind of an argument that's in the theological doctrinal ideas that can we make a declaration to the Father that sounds like a command? Or do we have to ask him nicely, may your kingdom come? In other words, we're asking you to let your kingdom come. To me, it says this in the Bible, and I think it probably helps influence me that we can say, your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come now. Another, we'll see, translation actually says, make your kingdom come. But the idea here is that we have the ability to communicate with authority. Have you guys ever heard this verse before? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's always been a mystery scripture to me, but it's communicating about how the kingdom of God is to be pursued and how it's to be apprehended. You're saying, well, I thought the kingdom was within me, but there has to be like something in us that has a tenacity, a hunger, a desire for more of the kingdom to operate in our lives. I mean, God wants to fully have his kingdom work in every single one of our lives to the fullness. But we have to say, no, I want your kingdom to come. Again, this could be people could declare this, and they're thinking they're talking about all around them. But I always think this is about me. Your kingdom come, Lord, in my life. May your kingdom come in my life. If you have to say it with may, if that's where you're at, you know, or please bring your kingdom to my life, he's going to receive what how you come to him. But I'm telling you, I believe that, and we look at the Hebrew, that the authority that's being communicated here is that we're saying, establish your kingdom now in my life. Aramaic says this, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Also in the earth, just as it is in heaven. Then the AMPC, which is the Amplified, says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pretty much like the New King James. Moving on, Matthew 6:11 says this, give us this day our daily bread. So this is where we're starting to ask for our needs. And notice that it's today's needs. It's not tomorrow's needs. You know, it's not next week's needs. Like Jesus says, you know, just be concerned about today. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. So asking for your needs for today is very biblical. And it's part of the way that Jesus told his disciples to pray. The Aramaic says it this way, give us our necessary bread today. So give us what's necessary for today. You know, so this isn't like, you know, give us just, you know, entire buffet and go to waste. No, what I need for today, let me receive it. The New Living Translation says this, give us today the food we need. Give us today the food we need. And then the Williams says, give us today our daily bread for the day. Give us, Lord, what I need for today. And you may not need bread like someone else may need bread. You may need, give me your word today. Because we know that Jesus, talking to the devil when he was being tempted, said that man does not live by bread, physical bread alone, but lives by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So to me, the word and bread go together. So you could pray it this way. Give me today the word that I need. That may be the bread that you most need in your life. And I would say that word that Jesus said, give me the rhema that I need for today. Give me your life-giving word that's specifically for me that's going to give me life today, Lord. Amen? Amen. It says here, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Breaking that down, the Living Translation says it this way, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Notice that the verb context of that is have. It's in the past. Lord, forgive me of my sins as I have forgiven those who have sinned against me. Again, Jesus gets in our business every time we're at prayer. Do you guys notice that? That it always comes back to, how's your heart? You're coming to the Father, but how's your heart? You're coming to the Father to ask for your needs met, but how's your heart? It says here in the Amplified, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, left, remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up the resentment against our debtors. Have given up the resentment against our debtors. So that resentment is something that's long-term. You guys know that? Like, resentment is like, it doesn't just come immediately. Resentment is something you've built up over the years, or over the weeks, over the month. Resentment is something that you've let stew. You haven't released it back to God. You haven't said, Lord, I don't want to continue to have anger and bitterness in my heart. And I don't know if you guys have read all of Matthew 5, but it actually says that if you're angry with your brother, it's like committing murder, which is always a tough scripture. Why'd you have to tell us that, Jesus? Just like if you've looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Jesus took the law and raised it to a whole new standard. Matthew 6:13 says this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you notice that the part where it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen, is italicized. Because some Bibles don't have that in there. Like, for instance, the New Living Translation doesn't. The Williams Translation doesn't. I believe the NIV doesn't. Because they say that the earlier transcripts, they say, I don't know who they are. How do they truly know how old things are? But they say that the earlier transcripts did not have that in there. But I like it in there, because his is the kingdom, his is the power, and his is the glory forever. Amen. So if I quote that and it's not in your Bible, just know why. New Living Translation says this, and don't let us yield to temptation. So instead of leading us into temptation, this prayer is changing, don't let us yield to temptation. Did you guys know that the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin? Now, I don't know about you, but I've been tempted in horrible ways. To think that Jesus was also allowed to be tempted that way, yet he did not give in, he did not sin. So this is asking us, asking the Father, Lord, help us to be like Jesus so we don't yield to temptation. I don't think we can say, Lord, don't ever let me be tempted again. Because I think we're in this world. I think temptation is part of being in this world. I think if Jesus was not completely isolated from temptation, do you think we will be? No. So, Lord, don't let me yield to the temptation that the devil presents to me or that I get into myself. But rescue me and rescue us from the evil one. Notice I keep making this personal. This prayer should be personal and prayer for others. And then the ABP, which is the Bible of the Apostolic format, says this, and do not insert us for a test. Because this word temptation could also mean test or trial. So in other words, don't put us in a position where we've been inserted into a situation where we're going to be tested. I think that's probably a fair prayer. Don't test me, Lord, if you can help it, because I don't know if I'll pass. But rescue us from the wicked one, for of you is the kingdom and the power and the glory into the eons. Amen. Eons, another word for eternities. Now we'll look at another one where Jesus is getting into the disciples' business, or our business today. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, this is that famous verse kind of being emphasized here, where Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't let go of what others have done to you, you can't be let go of what you've done by the Father. In other words, your sins are going to remain if you don't release other people's sins, which is hard. New Living says this way, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But, you guys know what but is? It's a conjunction. It means that what was said previous is negated by what's about to be said. If you refuse, so what was just said doesn't apply. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus said it, I didn't. What's that? It is. And keep in mind, this is the prayer that was requested to know. They wanted to know how to pray. This is the prayer that the disciples, so they're like, wow. I bet they probably all went, really? I mean, you know, they probably were dealing with issues with each other. Because they were just, some were some worldly fishermen, and I bet they probably got into, you know, each other, got under each other's skin. I don't know if you've ever seen The Chosen, but they do. the relationship between Matthew, who was a tax collector, and the rest of the disciples would probably have been a time of conflict because he was basically taking their money before that. And probably in a lot of their eyes, very unfairly. In the Aramaic, it says this, "For if you forgive the children of men their faults, your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your faults. But if you will not forgive the children of men, neither has your Father forgiven you your faults." So what is the children of men? That sounds like everybody, doesn't it? Some people say, oh, yes, I can forgive my brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's easy, you know. But I can't forgive other people, you know, especially those sinners out there. I can't forgive them. No, this is all people, everyone. When we hold ill against someone else in our hearts, it's like we're holding ill against ourselves. It's like when we're judging someone through holding on to our, for lack of a better term, judgment against them, we then become judged. Now, God doesn't want to have to judge us. And you think, it's got to be frustrating for Jesus, like, I died so that they wouldn't be judged. And now they're holding judgment against others, and they can't receive my freedom that I've given them. Now, some may say, well, we have a loving God. He forgives sins. Yes, he does, but there's something about holding something against someone else that, like, ties his hands. To me, it must be a situation where it's about an accusation. And somewhere someone can say, see, they're not forgiving. Just like the friends of the guy who was the servant who was forgiven a little comes to the king. Hey, they're not forgiving. So someone's going to accuse. And at that point, the king has to, what? Follow through and say, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. You threw that guy in until he could pay $100 back. You're in prison until you can pay millions back. Amplified says it this way. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins. Sometimes people are just reckless and they don't know what they're doing, you know? It's not like they're purposefully trying to hurt you, but they're just reckless. They don't know how to tame their tongue, they don't know watch what they're saying, and they say hurtful things. But then there's sometimes willful sins out there against you, premeditated, because they don't like you for whatever reason. Maybe they don't like the color of your skin. Maybe they don't like it you're a Christian. Maybe they don't like the style of your hair. I mean, it could be anything nowadays. The devil on them recognizes Christ in you. That could be very much the case. Nikki, that could be true. But willful sins. So reckless sins, people doing things against us that they're really not even aware of. You got to forgive those. And willful sins. Then it says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Praise God. But, there's that but again, if you do not forgive others, and this is the key, I love this, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. You're not forgiving what you're doing. Instead, you're nurturing your hurt and your anger with the result that it's interfering with your relationship with God. Then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. Again, Jesus was the one who said this. Yes. That'd be building resentment. Yeah, that'd be building resentment or some type of building an animosity that continues to basically fester is what it becomes. The problem is, and I've communicated this before, the longer you let something fester, the worse it becomes. If you can nip it in the bud, you know, again, getting back to some kind of tree fungus or disease, if you let it spread, it kills the whole thing, right? If you can nip in the bud, get it right at the beginning, you can save the tree. Let's not have a bunch of dead trees around here. Let's nip it in the bud. So in Matthew 6, 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many use the word hallowed all the time? Not very often, right? Yeah, it's old. It's old English, and it's stayed in translations because of, I guess, its endearment for the saying, or maybe because they were afraid if we change the word hallowed, it's going to, you know, we're going to make God mad or something. But interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys have noticed this before, but Halloween is in the word Halloween. You guys know that? That's the same old English right there being used. And so if you study it out, the root of Halloween was called All Saints Day. I don't know if you guys know that. And it was a celebration or a remembrance of martyrs, of people that had died. That's the origination of it. And they used to basically honor dead martyrs because of their faith. Well, then later on, it became just honoring any saint who had passed. And then, of course, we know what it is now. It's just a crazy day where just anything goes, you know. But it's still, the roots of it were about following God's example of honoring those who deserve honor. So, little extra note there. What's that? Exactly. Doesn't he like doing that? Taking something good and perverting it? So let's look at this word, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. It's a cognate. Do you guys remember the cognate? Was like, it has a blood relative word. And the word in the Greek is G37 in the Strong's, and it's hagaizo. And the root that it comes from is hagos. Holy, to regard as special, sacred, as holy, set apart, sanctified. I think it might be an adjective, but it means holy. It means set apart. It means sanctified. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but Paul encouraged the church, I think it was Thessalonians, to be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. That was one of his benedictions. I pray that you be sanctified, set apart, holy, in your spirit, your soul, and your body. Kind of like Romans 12:1, Lord, I present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Same guy wrote it, so that's probably where he gets that thought process. But the idea is that this is a cognate. Oh, all of a sudden it came on. Thank you, whoever did that. Lord, thank you, Lord. The Wi-Fi here sometimes is weird. But now I can read it here. Don't have to strain my eyes. Anyway, the word hagaizo is to make holy. So it literally means that something that's not holy to make holy. Now this is where this hallowed be thy name gets interesting, because why would we tell God to make himself holy? He is holy, right? Is God holy? Do we need to make him holy? No, but it's using that phraseology. So just keep that in mind. It means to consecrate or sanctify, to dedicate, to separate. It means in the Abbot Smith to render or regard as holy, because something has been made different. Now we know that God doesn't change, right? So there's got to be something at the core of this prayer that's not just about the Father changing. So hopefully I'll be able to communicate to you that the way that God is made holy here on the earth is by us. So really you're pointing the prayer right back at you. And you're saying, Father, you make yourself holy by how I live. You make yourself separated and adored by the world by my actions and my conduct. In Ezekiel 36:23, we see this phrase used. This is the Bible in Basic English. Other ones use sanctified, but I like the fact that the Bible in Basic English used the make holy. And I will make holy my great name. So God is saying, I'm going to make holy my great name, which has been made unclean or unholy among the nations. Why? Because of their conduct, which you have made unclean among them. And it will be clear to the nations that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when I make myself holy in you before their eyes. See, he's making himself holy, who? In them. So when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, you're not asking God to make himself holy. You're asking God to let his holiness come alive in you. And get this. It says, hallowed be your name. To us, a name is really mostly, when we say somebody's name, what are we thinking of? What they're called by. How do we identify them? In a classroom, when the teacher's saying all the names, they're just trying to find out who's there so he can or she can identify if they're there at class that day or if they're AWOL or absent or whatever it is in school. But in Hebrew, the name means much more. The name in Hebrew thought is a name was never just a label or for identification. It functioned as a summary of a person's essence, character, authority, and reputation. To know someone's name was in a real sense to have insight into who they are. So when we're making God's name holy by the way we live, we're letting people know his character and nature. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees that they were ready to pick up stones? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they're like, whoa, we're gonna stone you. You're blaspheming. Well, hopefully, as we grow in our faith, as people see us, they get to see Jesus' character and nature in us. They don't get to physically see Jesus, but they get to see Jesus through our actions. They get to see Jesus through our love. They get to see Jesus through our compassion that maybe we show through to others. And in essence, his name is then being glorified. His character, his authority and reputation is being lifted up. Now Paul in Romans 2:24 is getting on the Romans. First, he talks about, all the different sins that people are involved in. And he says, and you guys are saying, yeah, those dirty sinners, pretty much, I'm paraphrasing. But then he tells them, but just as it is written, the name of God is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. He's saying, because you're telling people that they shouldn't do things, but then you go and do them. And so you're blaspheming the name of God. In other words, because of their conduct, God's name was being lowered and made unclean, no longer sanctified, no longer holy. You guys remember this. I started the service with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, Romans 12:1, and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in other words, his unmerited favor towards us, he loves us and he's for us. He's not against us. Because of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. That's that word hagos. Holy. It's to be holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The Amplified says it this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Why is it our bodies? Because our bodies are the tool that we use to conduct ourselves. I mean, it's nice to make a decisive dedication of your mind. And a lot of times where our mind is, our body will follow. But we have to realize that these bodies are what other people see. Other people really don't see our mind. And so presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, sanctified, whatever words you want to use, and well-pleasing to God, and a display for the world, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So what is this saying? This is saying that we as God's people, as his children, need to make sure that we live lives as a sacrifice to God. that our bodies are a sacrifice. You know, there's I can't remember exactly the name of it, but basically it's a purity pledge that young adults make, you know, teenagers, and it's about keeping their virginity until they get married. Do you guys remember what it's called? Is it purity? I guess purity pledge is probably. And through this process, they are sacrificing. They're sacrificing their body to God. They're saying, no, I'm going to keep my body pure and save it for the one that God gives me, which is an amazing dedication. I didn't know the Lord before I was 19, so I was all out of that. So sorry, you're not looking at somebody that led that life as an example. But I believe that that sacrifice to God honors him and communicates to others that God is valued in their life. And then this, we brought this up a little bit before, but Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, on earth, we can, in our minds, say, you know what, earth is the rest of everybody else. But really, if you look at this word earth, it's like it literally can mean dirt. I don't know if you guys know it, but our origin is carbon, really dirt. So you could say on earth and be true, on earth. So you could say, your kingdom come, your will be done in me, in this earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. So your will be done, the word is genomo, G1096. Properly, it means to emerge, become, transitioning from one point or realm condition to another. So in other words, we're saying in heaven, you have a will, you have a desire, you have a plan. I pray this sometimes when I'm out walking and praying for the service. You have something that you want to do here today in someone's life, our life, and many lives. I don't know, Lord. But let what you desire, your will, be done here in this earth as you've designed and desired in heaven. So we want you to have your purposes and plans fulfilled in our midst. We want your realm to become evident here. It means to become and signifies a change of condition, state, or place. Means to come into being or come into existence. A manifestation implying motion, movement, or growth. So let's look at this verse again. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your will come into existence on earth upon my life. My life, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done, come into existence in my life as it is in heaven. Keep in mind, this is what Jesus is asking his disciples to pray. We're not just praying something in general for the whole earth or praying for our friends. Let's bring this back home. You know, you got one finger pointing out, three are pointing back. Yes, there's a time to intercede, but there's also a time for us to realize that the work of God first must begin in us to be really functioning in others if we want to be influential and help others reach or be reached with the gospel. Matthew 6, 9 through 11, in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. You guys have heard this. This is a translation that I highly recommend if you ever say, I want to know how this Greek is working, because nowhere in any of this that I just read did it talk about be continuously praying, but that's actually inferred in the Greek. And it's missed in most translations. So this is, Jesus is saying, listen, when you're continuously praying, in other words, you guys need to be interactively praying, not just one time, not just once a week at Sunday, not just, you know, on a given, you know, day that you say of the week, this is going to be my prayer day, or this is my prayer hour. No, interactively be praying, our Father, the one within and in union with the heavens. I love this. Not just in heavens somewhere. He's actually in union. And we're in union with him. Make your name to be set apart and kept holy. Make your reign and kingdom come. Make your will come into existence, as within heaven, so also upon earth. Give us today our bread necessary for existence and for the coming day. And then send away the results of our debts for us, as we also dismiss and send away the debts for those who owe us. Also, may you not bring us into an ordeal or a putting into the proof, neither by trial, nor by temptation, nor by examination, but to the contrary, rescue us from the bad situation. And then finally, I love the message in this translation. The message translation in this verses. With a God like this loving you, I love that. So previously, Jesus is talking about how the Father is taking care of you and loves you and has his focus on you. And he's saying, with a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are in my life. I'm going to add in my life. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with the three square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Is that not ever true? You're in charge. Keep us safe from ourselves. Yes, yes, yes. In other words, amen. Did you guys know that amen means yes, yes, yes? It's like an emphatic deal. Make it so. In prayer, there's a connection between what God does and what you do. Did you guys know that? When we're in prayer, that there's a connection, that God has a desire for us. Again, think of that acronym, prayer. Purposeful request aligning your eternal reality. In other words, you're not just making requests to God and giving him a list. You're letting that communication do something inside of you. In prayer, there's a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. So that is our first prayer of the Bible, and it's an important one. And so I encourage all of us to pray in this manner. You say, well, what manner, Pastor Mike? You just went all over the place. Go back and read that again. And as you read each verse, remember what was being communicated today, that there's more to this prayer than just you quoting, you know, word by word. That there's depth in it about what God wants to do in your life. Make it personal. Lord, do this in me. Let me be holy as you are holy. And let my life, as I live it, bring you glory and cause you to be set apart in other people's eyes. That others are glorifying you as they see my existence here on this earth, because it's aligning with your will for my life. And as you meet my needs daily, let me offer pure praise back to you for it. Let me not take for granted that you meet my needs daily. Let me be thankful. And help me, Lord, to forgive others. Help me, Lord, to release things that others do to me, whether reckless or willfully, or help me not to carry the weight of unforgiveness in my life. Because I want you to forgive me, Lord. I want to be fully forgiven. I don't want to stop you from being able to do your part by me not doing my part. Yeah, Lord. That your will come into existence in my life. Thank you.
things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were
our hearts adore.
said it simply, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of his commandments was to forgive others. One of his commandments was to pray that the Father's will would be manifested here on this earth. Have a great week. Love you all. Have a great day. Praise the Lord. And happy birthday again. And 25, huh? Yeah.